Valjina Mort, welcome to Worldviews.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So Valjina, as a Belarusian poet living here in the U.S., I'd like to start by just asking you about your interest in poetry. Kind of what developed, what led you down that path to become a poet? You're a very famous poet, well-published poet. What brought you into poetry? How did you develop an interest in that?
I think it was poetry that led me down that path. I grew up in Belarus, in the Soviet Union, and a great myth was that it was a really big reading nation. And I don't know if it was really true in terms of how much reading was done, but it's certainly true that every household had a library, no matter what your parents did, how educated they were. You had a library. There were shelves of books. And so I grew up in a house filled with books, especially by American standards, I'm afraid to say. I grew up in the library. And I read from early on. Books were just part of my life. I played with books along with I played with dolls, you know. They were just It was an object that was always a part of my life. And I read indiscriminately prose and poetry and started writing as most kids do, you know, trying to put my imagination on paper.
But you've said previously that there's something about poetry and how the words kind of come together, but yet they don't. You have to kind of disentangle them in some ways to kind of make sense of what a poem is telling you, that it's simple. Mm-hmm. Poems are simply written, mm-hmm. but then they're not so simply and easily understood. Mm-hmm. So how is it that form of writing inspired you?
Yeah, the language of poetry is certainly not the language of the everyday. Even though poetry is so much concerned with thinness and with details, it is a different kind of language. Every day we use language in a very utilitarian fashion. We order coffee and we don't want to be brought a cup of tea. We want to be understood very quickly. But a poem is not concerned with utilitarian aspect of language. It looks at language, I think, as something. It has an anthropological approach to language. It kind of looks for reasons for a table to be called a table, even though you know that it's absolutely arbitrary. And on the other hand, I don't want to overemphasize how much over-worship language is itself, because a poem also is a poem of images and ideas. For me, poetry is always very visual. And what makes poetry language particular? Well, several things. Well, so it's very concise. All right. So instead of using 100 words, you use one word that would work for you. Well, basically like a slave doing the work of 100 other words. Transitions, the leaps that our mind takes. I think it's actually very natural for us to think in these leaps. Poets don't worry much about transitions the way, you know, students have to do them in an essay, for instance. We take leaps, and in those leaps, in those gaps, in the white space on the page, a lot is said with it. Just like a pause in music is just as important as a taken note. Since I mentioned music, the musicality of poetry, when a poem seems to reach to become music, to become just sound, with meaning becoming almost secondary. You know, I don't think that a poet sits down to write a poem because she has, you know, a story to tell, some wisdom to bestow upon the reader. But it's the language that tells the story. And a poet has to listen very carefully to what language can offer. It's the art. Poetry is the art of language, but also art of attentiveness, right, to the human condition, to what's in front of you. And it's up to you how far you're willing to see. You know, a lot of poets do not look beyond a bird chipping outside their window. So to go back to your first question, I studied music as a child, and I thought of becoming a musician. And most of the things that I've learned for poetry, I learned from music. I never studied poetry academically, but just those rules of musical compositions, I transferred them onto language.
So it's something not only you see. I mean, you referred to a poem as being a, to project a certain image. It's visual, but it's also
oral.
Oral and yeah. Something that you hear. So when you sit down to be creative, to construct, you know, your art form with words, with the language, it reflects something you are seeing, and perhaps not too far outside your window, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, but nonetheless a reflection of something you're seeing and hearing in your mind and you know, about a particular topic, that it's obviously not arbitrary or random, but is it has meaning. And so then how does that relate then to how people receive it and the meaning that they take from your work, from your art form?
Well, I as a poet, I do not worry much about the readers. I trust them to take care of themselves. Of course, all art is very carefully constructed. That's the way for the artist to control the way work is read, whether it's musical work or literary work or visual work. The audience reads this work and throw. So poetry is a very formal linguistic art, and poetic form is a way of controlling the way that the work is read. So a poet works not as much with the story as a poet works with the construction, with the form. In fact, right, we live in a very chaotic and fragmented world. And for me, poetry has always been what gave it form. So the formal aspect of poetry is something that I enjoy a lot. The idea of controlling chaos on the page with very carefully orchestrated lines and stanzas.
So going back to this notion of language, as you were mm-hmm. saying, just beautiful and poetic responses that you're providing. You've written, of course, your poems in both your native language, Belarusian language, as well as English. But that, you know, it's been said about you that you are trying to reestablish a clear identity for your native country, Belarus, and its language, your native language. And you've referred to it as a soft language, a language of lullabies. And I found this very intriguing because I'm not sure what you mean by soft language and a language of lullabies. Can you tell us more about that and how your work helps us regain, or helps you and your country regain its identity in some way by the kind of, with through your work?
Mm-hmm. Well, I won't know how it does in any way. This kind of things often. They're said by somebody else about me, or during editing of the interview, they're taken out of context and placed as the thing on the page, for instance, or in an audio file. So the idea that Belarusian language is a soft language of lullabies is a myth. That comes, drags along with it the myth of Belarusians being calm, peaceful, and tolerant people. You know, it's all a very superficial, artificial construct, and very Soviet construct. This younger Belarusians, Russians, younger brothers and sisters, the calm ones, the tolerant ones, the all-enduring ones with their soft language of lullabies.
Not the domineering.
Yes. Yeah. So of course this is not true. And there's nothing. In fact, there's nothing that's soft about my poetry. Or me, for that matter. I'm an angry and aggressive person.
And, well, I don't see that.
these are the few taboos in American culture, right? You cannot be aggressive, you cannot be angry, and you also shouldn't judge. I judge, and I'm angry and aggressive. So,
so poetry is a good outlet for that sort of thing, I suppose.
Well, poetry is my life, you know. So it's not an outlet for me. It's not a career for me. I cannot separate myself from poetry or poetry from myself. I never stop writing. Like all poets, there's not life, you know, some kind of life, and then sit down at the table and now create. Once a poet, you're always a poet. That's it. You never stop writing, because on the one hand, as I said, it's the art of language, but on the other hand, it's the art of attentiveness. And you're always alert, you're always attentive to things around you. You know, you're a walking camera that constantly takes pictures and processes them.
Poetry is also somewhat of a performance art. These are you known for your live performances or your poetry readings. I suspect that they're probably quite animated and exciting. And it seems to me that this is kind of a huge movement today in poetry, is public readings and performances of either your own poetry or somebody else's poetry. So tell us a little bit about that and how that relates to perhaps bringing, for lack of a better way of putting it, kind of bringing poetry back into kind of popular culture, where, you know, there are very public events now sharing mm-hmm. one's poetry.
Mm-hmm. On the one hand, I'm very glad that poetry is having that kind of renaissance with these public events. But for me personally, poetry is a very private, a very intimate activity. Just poetry readings in general, I don't find them particularly interesting or engaging. I would much prefer to be at home and to read a book to myself in whisper, you know, I read, and because I'm so aware of how boring poetry readings might go, and how every time a poet is reading, I wish I were at home reading these poems to myself. So, yeah, I try to be, not to bore people too much, but I also try not to bore myself, because I wrote these poems, I read them so many times in public, and it gets dull. And then it gets very untrue, dishonest. So when I read the poems, I try to kind of relieve the ecstasy of writing them, in order to not to bore myself and people who came to see me.
So the ecstasy of writing them, that's a great way of putting it. taking your own personal experience and bringing it to the public. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Valjina, for being with us today and enlightening us a little bit, not only about Belarus, but about your poetry. Thank you so much.
Thank you.